Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. It's cold out there today, but that's all right. It's warm in here. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be singing some songs for a while and worshiping God. And, of course, after that, we're going to continue our study in Exodus. But before we do anything this morning, we need to pray. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking, O God, that thy perfect will would be done, asking, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy anointing would be here. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee and give thee our hearts. Inspire us, O God, to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start this morning with number 163 in the hymnal, I Need Thee Every Hour. Why don't we go to number 169 and sing, Pass Me Not.
Others thou
seen only in thy merit. Would I seek thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. That the Lord hears our prayers, and he has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, when you're looking for salvation, there's only one place to look. We need to look to the Lamb of God. Why don't we go and sing number 300 right now? Look to the Lamb of God. Number 300. From sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in his strength shall over all prevail, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Cheer. the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the only place you're going to get salvation. When you look to the Lamb of God, that's the only way. Jesus is the only way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, why don't we go to number 210 and sing Victory Ahead? Because when you look to the Lamb of God, there is victory ahead. Praise the Lord. When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's dread. By faith they saw the victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Well, why don't we go to number 178 and sing, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dear far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see, He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads I'll follow, every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He, He that great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads I'll follow, to His loving words, come unto me, weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure, lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where He leads I'll follow, that's the only way to know you're going the right way, by following Jesus. In fact, if you're not following Jesus, I guarantee you, you're going the wrong way. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, could I get you that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, Thy many abundant blessings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy love and Thy care towards us, for Thy sustaining power, for Thy mercy and Thy grace. And we pray, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy name. We ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before we sing one more song, there are a couple of things we should pray about. My wife and I and my sister Jane, we did go visit Gordon on Thursday. At the time, he was still in a nursing home in Randolph. As far as I know, he's still there. And, of course, he was very happy to see us. But he does need continued prayer for healing and strength. So we're going to pray for him, and then Barb also would like prayer for continued healing from that procedure she underwent. I know they did do a biopsy to check for cancer, and praise the Lord, there was no cancer, so we're very thankful for that. Glory to God. So we're going to pray for her for continued healing as well. We're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of our dear brother Gordon, praying, O God, that thou wouldst reach down from heaven and comfort him, Lord. Let him feel thy presence. Let him feel thy touch. Let him feel thy healing virtue, we pray. For we know, O God, that thou art our healer, our deliverer. And we know that nothing is too hard for thee. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be with Gordon, help him, let him feel thy presence, fill him with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst give him the strength he needs to do the things he needs to do. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray this day for our dear sister Barb, praying, O God, that thou wouldst continue to heal her and strengthen her. We pray, O God, that she would be healed completely and quickly, for we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and nothing is too hard for thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst touch her now, even now as we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a song I'd like to sing, and I don't know that we've ever done this one here before, but it's very appropriate for what we're going to be looking at later today in Exodus and elsewhere in the scripture, so I'd like to try singing this song. It's number 20, Come and Dine.
Spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet the sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called to them, come and dine. And they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire, thus he satisfied the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble me. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude
God. Well, glory to God, and we can feast at Jesus' table anytime. We do that every time we open the scriptures, for we know that this Word of God, this Bible, this holy book is our spiritual food, our spiritual meat, and it is food for the soul. Praise God. Well, we are going to be continuing our study in Exodus, and we are on the 16th chapter. And we're going to continue on with our story. We know at this point the Israelites had been brought out of the land of Egypt. by a mighty hand. God used Moses to do that. And last week we looked at how they crossed the Red Sea. God rolled back those waters of that mighty Red Sea, and his people were allowed to cross over on dry ground. And it was really amazing because they didn't think they could do it. They thought there was no way we could cross this sea, this water that's in our way. What are we going to do? But God is never stuck. And he rolled back those waters. They crossed over on dry land. And when their adversary, the Egyptians, tried to pass over that water as well as the Israelites had, they were drowned, weren't they? God did not let them pass over. And so now we're going to continue the story, and they are in the wilderness, and we're going to see how God feeds his people. Before I read even one verse this morning, I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, seeking thy guidance, thy direction as we open thy holy word, praying, O God, that these words would come alive in our heart, praying, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us, that thou wouldst set us aflame with thy spirit, with thy Holy Ghost, O God. Help us to draw nigh to thee, to call out to thee, to serve thee, to worship thee, to give thee our hearts, O Lord. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us the understanding we need as we look upon thy word, for we know that all understanding comes from thee. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in the 16th chapter of Exodus, and you know, God does provide for the needs of his people, and sometimes we might wonder, how is he going to do that? I have a need. How is he going to provide for my needs? What is he going to do? Sometimes you seem like you feel like you're in an impossible situation and you don't know what to do. Well, these Israelites, they were walking through the wilderness, wandering through that wilderness, looking to get to the promised land, and they didn't have a lot to eat. They must have had some livestock and so forth, some animals, because they brought them out of Egypt. But all in all, there wasn't enough to feed everybody. As you might recall, this was a very large group. In fact, we read earlier a couple of weeks ago that there were 600,000 men who came out of Egypt, plus women and children, plus the mixed multitude, so there was a lot. And according to some estimates I've read, they believe it was about 2 million people. So this was a very large group, and they needed quite a lot of food to feed a group like that. Of course, that's not anything too hard for our Savior. That's not anything too hard for God. And what he did for them is he actually rained down manna from heaven. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, anything we've ever eaten in this world probably doesn't taste anywhere near as good as this manna that they had, because this manna came directly from God out of heaven. And we're going to read how God supplied their needs, starting in verse 1 of chapter 16 of Exodus. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now, God had done many, many remarkable things, many wondrous things. He displayed his power, and he did it often. He was with the children of Israel. He helped them on so many occasions. And, you know, in Egypt, he brought forth those plagues upon the Egyptians until Pharaoh agreed to let the Israelites go. And then when they were backed up against that sea and it didn't look like there was anywhere to go, he rolled back those waters, didn't he? So clearly, God was with them. And when God does something like that, when he's working miracles like that, you would think that that would build people's faith, that they would learn to trust God. For surely if God can perform those 10 plagues, and surely if God can roll back the mighty Red Sea and let you pass over on dry ground, then it should be nothing too hard for him to feed you in the wilderness. But there were murmurers in the camp of the Israelites, and I have to wonder how much of that was brought on by that mixed multitude. But they were murmuring. It tells us in verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, isn't that something? So apparently, these murmuring Israelites must have thought, well, God worked those 10 plagues, brought us out of the land of Egypt, rolled back the Red Sea to kill us in the wilderness. Now, how does that make any sense? It doesn't. And instead of murmuring, they should have believed. Their faith should have been strong by this point, but they were murmuring. And even so, God was gracious to them, and he did feed them. Verse 4 tells us, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And God here is telling them, okay, they're hungry, I will feed them, I'm going to rain bread from heaven, manna from heaven, and I'm going to test them to see if they will be obedient. And you know, some of them weren't. We're going to see that as we continue on in this chapter. But God gave very clear, simple, concise instructions on what they were supposed to do. He gave them a clear procedure to follow. And some of them, even though it was simple and direct, still had trouble grasping it. It's really amazing. Sometimes people can't even follow simple directions. But we're going to continue on now in this chapter. Verse 5 tells us, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. They should have already known, but this was going to be further confirmation that the Lord was with them. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. You know, we should never murmur against the Lord. He hears us when we do that, when we murmur and complain. He hears that. And, you know, we don't deserve any of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, and yet he's given us so much. And we need to learn to be thankful for what we have. You know, sometimes it seems like we don't have much, but I tell you what, there's people all over the world who would love to have what you have. And more importantly, he has given us many wonderful spiritual gifts, many wonderful promises, and that's the most important thing of all. But we need to learn to be thankful and never murmur and never complain. And when we are struggling, just call out to the Lord, seek his face, and you will find that when you humble yourself in the presence of God, he will bring relief to whatever your problems may be. He does that because he loves us. And we don't always know how he's going to do it, but we believe that he helps us. And he does. Praise the Lord. And verse 10 tells us, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Well, they should have known that already, but God was continuing to prove himself to them. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning that do lay round about the host. And in the book of Numbers, it goes into some more details on this whole situation. We won't go there today for lack of time, but we do know that in other places in the scriptures, it tells us they were so lustful for that meat that they ate it until it came out of their noses. Which, you know, as you can imagine, that's quite disgusting. But, you know, they complained. Even after God gave them manna, they complained. They said, all we've got is this manna. We're tired of this manna. So they said, we want meat. But, you know, God is always gracious. Verse 11 tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. There was something on the ground. They didn't know what it was. In fact, they called it manna. Because manna means, what is it? What is it? This was bread from heaven. And I guarantee you, it was the best tasting bread ever.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And it says, it was as the hoarfrost, small as the hoarfrost. It was, you know, it probably looked similar to frost. And we do know that throughout the day they had to be prompt in gathering it because it would dissipate after a while. It would disappear, but God was faithful and he gave them that manna every morning until they got to the promised land. Verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Now, an omer is an old, very ancient unit of measure that the Israelites used, and it would be the equivalent of 3.64 liters. So just over 3.5 liters. That's what one omer would be. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now, as you remember, God is testing them to see if they could just be obedient, and he's giving them very simple instructions. He's saying, don't leave any of this manna in your tents overnight. If you do, it will spoil. It will breed worms. It will stink. And even though Moses gave them very clear instructions, which he received from the Lord, there were some who didn't hearken. They thought, well, we'll save this for later. But they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to do that because God was going to give them this manna each and every morning, except for the seventh day, of course, which we're going to read about in this chapter. Verse 21 tells us, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. And here they're receiving instructions. On the sixth day, you are to collect twice as much as you normally would, because there isn't going to be any on the seventh day. And God will keep that bread for you. He'll keep it nice and fresh on that sixth day, It's not going to stink. It's not going to rot. But rather, it will be kept, and you can consume it on the seventh day. That was so they wouldn't have to go out and collect new manna on the seventh day, the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to be doing any work that day. And verse 24 tells us, "And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, and neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." They didn't listen, did they? They couldn't follow simple instructions. And those who could not obey, well, they found that on that seventh day they were hungry, and they remained that way until the next day, because there was not any manna to collect. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Sounds pretty good to me. You know, maybe that's what it'll taste like when we get to heaven. Wouldn't surprise me. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." They were going to keep a sample of this manna. A sample, they put it in this pot, and miraculously it didn't rot. But this sample of manna was to be a reminder to the Israelites of the wonders that God had worked for his people, how he rained down bread from heaven and fed his people. Oh yes, a miracle. And maybe a time could come when we need such a miracle. You never know what might happen. But we have to believe that God is able to take care of us, just as he took care of his people back here. Praise the Lord. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. And of course an ephah, that would be about a bushel. But you know, the God who in this Old Testament, in this Exodus, rained down bread from heaven, that's the same God that came to earth wearing a body, robed in flesh, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he is able to feed the hungry every time. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read of a story that's actually very reminiscent of what we just read in Exodus. And the reason it's so reminiscent is because Jesus is God, very God. We know that when he was on earth, he was both God and man. But for God, it's no hard thing to take a little and turn it into a lot, or to make something of nothing. He is a God of miracles. So in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read about one of the miracles that Jesus did. And by the way, this miracle we're going to read about, it's actually, aside from the resurrection, it's the only miracle that's written of in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." You know, there were a lot of people out there who had different theories about who Jesus was. And here we see Herod. He was confused. He thought, well, this must be John the Baptist. He came back from the dead. I thought I killed him. He must have come back, and now he's doing these mighty works. But no, it wasn't John the Baptist. In fact, it couldn't have been John the Baptist, because John the Baptist actually baptized Jesus, and he told them, this is the one. This is the one I was telling you about. This is the one you were looking for. This is the Messiah. So no, John the Baptist wasn't Jesus. But Herod, he's a little confused. And verse 3 tells us, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Could you imagine doing something so horrible? He married his brother's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And of course we know John the Baptist, he didn't pull any punches. He told Herod, you can't have her. That's not lawful. And he was put into prison for that. And of course we know that eventually he was put to death. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And I don't think this was an innocent little Shirley Temple dance. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Yeah, that must have been quite a dance. And he had probably been drinking, and he was thinking foolishly, and he said, well, I'll give you whatever you want. And she said, being before instructed of her mother. See, this was all planned out by this girl and her mother. They planned this out ahead of time, hoping that this is exactly what would happen. And she said, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Such a heinous and treacherous thing. Such an evil woman. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. So he didn't want to be embarrassed by taking back his promise, so he gave the order. And they went and they beheaded John the Baptist. And he sent and beheaded John in a prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. You have to wonder how people could be so gruesome. But I tell you what, the reason they can be so gruesome is because they have devils. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And I'm sure that when Jesus heard of this, he felt sad about it, because like I said, he was both God and man, and he did have emotions, just as we have emotions. So when he heard about what had happened to John the Baptist, he wanted to go off and be by himself for a while, have some quiet time. But you know, the people followed him. Verse 13 tells us, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So even though he obviously wanted some quiet time, some time away, these people followed him, and he had compassion on them. And you know, when you do follow Jesus, he will have compassion on you. He is a compassionate Savior. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. So Jesus is telling them, you don't have to send them away. We'll feed them. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, that's not very much, is it? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, even if they had just split that amongst themselves, it wouldn't have been a lot of food. But this was more than enough for the Lord Jesus. The same God who rained down bread from heaven for the Israelites was going to work another miracle here. And he was going to feed this multitude of 5,000. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me, And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. Now, wasn't that amazing? You know, this isn't just a neat little story we find in the Bible. This is something that actually happened, just as we read about it here. This really happened. And I tell you what, if that doesn't build your faith, I don't know what will.
Praise the Lord.
And of course, that must have been quite a sight. And people might say sometimes, oh, I wish I could have been back there to see all those miracles that Jesus did. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. He's still doing miracles. He is still a miracle worker. And if we would just have faith in Him and believe on Him, we would see more miracles today. People might ask, why don't we see more miracles today? Did God change? Does He not do miracles anymore? No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. He still does miracles. But miracles require faith.
Amen.
And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. 5,000 men plus women and children, and Jesus fed them all.
Amen.
With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He had another similar miracle too, where He fed another multitude, because this was no great challenge for the Lord, the Creator of the universe. And we know that the Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the Creator.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But we see here, it's the same God. The same God that rained down that manna from heaven. The same God that fed the multitude here. And the same God that will help us and supply our needs. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. And we'll continue on in chapter 17. And in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, it tells us, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel, journeying from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." Now God, to this point, had supplied their every need. Their every need. He brought them out of Egypt. He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. He fed them with bread from heaven. And now they were thirsty. You know, at this point they should have realized, hey, our God can do anything. Our God can do everything. Anything and everything. And yet, they murmur again. Because they're thirsty. Verse 2 tells us, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Boy, such a lack of faith. Miracles happening all around them. In fact, they were experiencing a miracle every day. Every day they went out there and gathered that manna, except for the seventh day, of course. But God was faithful. He gave them that bread from heaven. And if God can rain down bread from heaven, it shouldn't be anything hard for Him to provide them with water. But here they murmur again, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" I mean, come on. How could they even think this way? And yet they did. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And you know, we still draw water from the rock. That rock that is Christ Jesus. Those springs of living water. It's not water we drink in the flesh anymore, but it is that spiritual water that flows forth from our Savior. Praise the Lord. In fact, everything we read about here in Exodus points forward to the future, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Oh, we should never wonder, is the Lord here with us? He promised he would be. His promises are sure. He is here. He's here right now, this day, right here among us.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You know, amazing things happen when you lift up your hands and
Amen.
Worship God.
That's right, amen.
When you reach out to the Lord, when you give Him everything. And we see here in this example, when Moses raised his hands, Israel prevailed. They had the victory. And when his hand went down, Amalek prevailed. But yes, amazing things happen when we lift our hands to the Lord, when we reach out to Him.
Praise
the Lord. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. If you can imagine trying to keep your hands up all day while this battle raged would be difficult. Your arms would get tired after a while. But thankfully, Moses had some dear friends who were there to help, Aaron and Hur, and they helped him lift up his hands.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And we do have victory through the Lord. And today, although we don't have to fight these physical battles anymore, we do have victory over the enemy. And I tell you what, a lot of time that victory comes when you lift up your hands and you worship the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But I am so glad that this was written down in the book of Exodus and we can still read about it today. It's a wonderful thing. A memorial that can be rehearsed in our ears. But you know, the children of Israel, it was a vicious cycle with them. They would serve the Lord, and the Lord would bless them. And when things got rough, sometimes they would murmur and complain. And oftentimes the Lord was gracious and helped them anyway, because He is a gracious, merciful, compassionate God. But they would still complain. We see that time and time again in the Scriptures. And they got into even more trouble in later years. Actually, in the not too distant From the point we read, they got into trouble. It wasn't too long after this they were dancing around a golden calf, getting into all sorts of mischief. So it was kind of a vicious cycle with the children of Israel. In fact, if you go to Psalm 78, it'll tell us about that. I'm not sure how long it'll take to read this entire psalm, but we have a little time left, and I want to do it because actually in this psalm, it tells us about a lot of the things we were just reading about in Exodus. Psalm 78, which is the second longest psalm, Psalm 119 being the longest. But we'll probably be able to move this fairly quickly because these verses are very short. And of course, as we know, the book of Psalms is actually a song book. These were all songs at one point. And this must have been a somewhat lengthy tune. But Psalm 78 tells us in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us." And just as God instructed back there, write this down so that it can be read in the future. The David and Asaph and all the psalmists and so forth, they knew what had happened. They understood the history of it. And these are dark sayings of old, some of the things they went through, the mischief of the children of Israel. Verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." The reason this song was written was so that the children, their children, would know what had happened to the children of Israel way back there throughout their history. And not only is this a psalm about the mercy and the strength of the Lord and his deliverance, but it's also a psalm about the mischief, the problems that befell the Israelites. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." And you know, it's a wonderful thing to study the scriptures with your children, if you have children. Teach them about the Lord. And someday, if they have children, they can teach those children about the Lord, and so forth and so on. Depending on how long we're here, you just never quite know. Verse 7, "that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." That's why this psalm was written, so that those who read it would set their hope in God and not forget his works, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So in this psalm, we'll see examples of things not to do. Verse 9, "the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to work in his law and forgat his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers." And we've been reading about some of those marvelous things, haven't we? "In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through." Praise the Lord, what a miracle. "And he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." And praise the Lord, he's done the same for us. But it is that spiritual water that comes forth from that rock, and that rock is Christ. Amen. "And they sinned yet more against him." After everything God had done for them, they sinned yet more. "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Oh, yes, he can. Don't doubt that for a second. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. And there are consequences if you don't trust in the salvation of the Lord. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food, and He sent them meat to the full. Yeah, well, in verse 25 there it says that manna was angels' food. And you know, it also tells us in the scriptures that one of the things they did with manna is they made cakes out of it, so I guess it would have been angels' food cake. Verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. That's so sad. All those wondrous works that God had done, and yet there were some who just couldn't believe. There were some who just didn't have faith to believe God. And you know, miracles do happen today. We read about them sometimes. I've read stories where people were risen from the dead. They were brought back to life. God still works miracles today, but you know, there will always be the skeptics. They can read about something like that and they say, oh, there must be some sort of scientific explanation. Isn't that what they always say? There must be some sort of scientific explanation. But I tell you what, God is not bound or limited by the laws of science.
Amen.
There's nothing that He cannot do. And sometimes there is no scientific explanation for something that God does. You know, I wonder if they would try to come up with a scientific explanation for why manna rained down from heaven. They probably would try, but it was just a miracle from God. And we need to believe in Him. We need to trust Him that He is able to deliver us, that He is able to help us, that He is able to provide for our needs. Verse 33, therefore their days did He consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When He slew them and they sought Him, then they sought Him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Oh yes, God is our rock. Jesus is our Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. People still do that today, don't they? Say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. They'll quote scriptures. They'll go to church. They'll sing songs sometimes. But they're just trying to flatter God with their lips, with their mouth. And I tell you what, God knows the difference.
Amen.
You can't fool God.
That is right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 37, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. So let's make sure when we worship God, we do it in spirit and in truth, that we truly give Him our hearts. That's what it means to worship, to give Him our hearts.
Yes.
You can't fake it. Praise the Lord. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. And He did the same for us, didn't He? He turned His anger away. He had compassion on us. He forgave us our sins and our iniquities, even though we didn't deserve it. Nobody deserves that. And yet He is a gracious Savior. Verse 39, for He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. We must remember the Lord. We must remember what he's done for us. We must remember the day when he delivered us from our enemy.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts, and cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. We just read about that the past few weeks, didn't we? All those signs, all those plagues that he performed in Egypt. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Praise the Lord, and Jesus is our good shepherd, and he leads us though we be as sheep.
Amen.
And he led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. And we have an inheritance also, an inheritance that Jesus won for us on that cross. And that inheritance we will find in the New Jerusalem, that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God, that city where the Lamb is the light. Verse 56, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger and their high with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. And that's something else that the Israelites did later, something they got into trouble with. They tried to worship other gods. They saw the gods that the people around them were worshiping, and they said, hey, why don't we incorporate their gods into our religion too? And you know what? They still tried to worship the one true God, but they tried to worship him alongside their other false gods. And God was very clear, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. You can't worship anything else. You can't worship idols. You can't give your heart to anything else. You must worship God and give him your all.
Amen.
You know, it's not just graven images that are idols, but it's anything in your life that you put before God. Don't put anything before God. He should be first and foremost in our lives each and every day. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Oh yes, there were dire consequences for the things they had done, for their disobedience, for their murmuring, for their complaining. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And we know that from the tribe of Judah our Savior came forth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. And when it says the earth has been established forever, we need to understand that that's talking about the new heaven and the new earth established forever. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Oh yes, God will feed his people. God will guide his people. God will provide for our needs. He did it back there in the book of Exodus. He did it back in the time of the Gospels when he fed the multitudes. And yes, he will provide for us now, even now. I know sometimes things do get rough. I know from experience. In fact, last year was actually a very difficult year for us. There were a lot of things that went wrong. Things with the house. I know earlier in the year our garage door opener broke and we had to get that fixed. It was quite expensive. And later in the year our water heater went out. We had to get that replaced. And we had a lot of problems with our vehicle. Had to get that fixed. And, you know, in the process of all this, we acquired a little credit card debt, which I hate to do. But I am so thankful because the Lord does provide for our needs. And, you know, with the tax refund I just received and with my upcoming paychecks, it looks like we're going to be able to pay off that credit card. So I am so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. He does provide for our needs, just as he did for the children of Israel all the way back there in Exodus, and just as Jesus fed the multitude with that bread from heaven. And I just wonder, you know, when he broke that bread, maybe, just maybe it tasted like manna. Praise the Lord. But we will continue our study in Exodus next week. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for thy scripture, for the many lessons thou hast taught us in thy word, for thy many blessings, for thy sustaining power, for the manner in which thou hast kept us. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us strong faith to always believe on thee and never doubt. For we know that thou art never stuck. We know, O God, that thou art never backed against a wall. We know that thou knowest always what to do. And we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in thee, believing, O God, that thou wilt make a way where there is no way. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt continue to be with us, guide us, and direct our steps. Help us to seek thee each and every day. Inspire us by thy scriptures. Lead us, O God, by thy Spirit. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we'll sing a chorus in closing. Praise the Lord. You know, it just seems appropriate today to sing Keep on Walking by Faith, because we are walking and believing on God and we must have faith in Him. But that's number 78 in the chorus book. If you need the words, number 78, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Lord, you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.